Eckler stays in on the right halfback. 24 seconds left in the game. Chiefs by 7. The line of scrimmage for Rivers is at the 14-yard line. Rivers takes the snap at his belt. Frank Clark coming for him. A fade route right side. It's intercepted! 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 Dirty Dan Sorensen picks it off! One of the biggest interceptions for Dirty Dan's career! And the Chiefs shut the gate on Phillip Rivers! 4 interceptions by Rivers! And the Chiefs get a gigantic pick by Dirty Dan Sorensen on the wheel route to the outside to Austin Eckler.
Chiefs win on Monday Night Football in Mexico City, 24-17 over the Chargers. Came down to the final seconds, and it never should have. Did the Chiefs win the game, or did the Chargers do more to lose it? We will address that question coming up in just a little bit. Press Riley Gates will be with us to talk K-State athletics. But first, North Central Activity Association All-League teams. We had this posted right away on Friday night after the ball games. It's posted at ncksports.com, but Dusty will go through the locals that made the team.
Yeah, the first team selections from Beloit. Creighton Johnson made it on both the offensive and defensive line. Hudson Gray at quarterback. Trojans running back and linebacker Carson Cox made first team in both of those. Vincent Pollin at wide receiver and defensive back. Brennan Walker at tight end. Trace McQueen at defensive line, and Grant Arrowsmith at defensive back for Beloit first team pick. And then second team selections, Grady Seifert and Braden Burks both made it on the offensive line, and Grant Arrowsmith at running back. So it's a look at the Beloit selections for all NCAA football. Again, full selections are at ncksports.com. Later today, we hope to have the 8-man Division II District 4 all-district team. We know some of those, but it hasn't been officially released yet to the public. So we'll get that and hopefully have the whole team later today posted at ncksports.com.
All right. Did the Chiefs win last night, or did the Chargers lose last night, Dusty?
From everything I watched with my eyes, the Chargers lost.
The Chargers, thank God Phillip Rivers was quarterback.
Yes.
And I said it yesterday on the show that Rivers is good for a couple of bonehead decisions. He threw 5 interceptions last night.
Yeah.
Only 4 were caught. Tyrann Mathieu had the easiest interception in the world, and how he didn't catch that, and I thought that'd come back and cost him the game, and it certainly cost him a chance at blowing the Chargers out. Game, I think, would have been over if Tyrann Mathieu caught that football. But did the Chiefs win or did the Chargers lose? I feel like this is the almost a similar game that just happened last week, except the Titans won and the Chiefs lost. The Chiefs found ways to lose, and the Titans didn't do a lot of things that really won the game. I felt like the Chiefs handed that game over. The Chargers last night, it was like neither team wanted to win the game and put it away. Like, the stats in this game are crazy. The Chargers were down 10-9 at halftime and had 312 yards of offense. The Chiefs had only 109. The Chargers did not punt once in the first half, but the Chiefs got a couple of turnovers, strip sack and fumble, and then they got the interception. The Chargers had 21 minutes time of possession, Chiefs just 9, and yet the Chiefs were up 10-9 at halftime. Phillip Rivers threw 4 interceptions last night. And like I said, it should have been 5. It was a weird, weird game. And I'm thankful that Phillip Rivers was the quarterback of the Chargers. The defense was absolutely gassed on that final possession in regards to rushing the quarterback. I thought Frank Clark was going to collapse. It was that bad. Because altitude was a factor in this game. Something that really hasn't been addressed very much by national media or anything I've seen on social media too much today. And it's something that we do need to factor in when it comes to why the Chiefs offense struggled. I'm not going to make excuses for the Chiefs offense, but I will say I think Andy Reid and the Chiefs called the game differently because of Tyreek Hill's injury and because of the altitude. More on that in a moment, because I think it's easy for everybody to go all nuts and say Andy Reid was conservative play calling. Mahomes turned into Alex Smith for a while last night. Why didn't the Chiefs, you know, try to push it down the field and finish the game? Which are fair questions to ask, don't get me wrong, because I was asking the same thing. But how big of a factor was altitude? We'll get to that in a moment. Another reason why I say the Chargers lost the game last night and the Chiefs didn't really win it. The Chiefs have the second-to-worst rush defense in all of football. Last night, the Chargers had 73 plays from scrimmage, 19 runs, and 54 passes with a quarterback that isn't very good. Why in the world would you throw the ball 54 times or drop back to throw 54 times? Rivers threw 52 passes, and he's also not very mobile, as we know. I don't understand the game plan. I don't take a lot of stock in the Chiefs winning last night, and that's one of the biggest reasons why. If the Chiefs play the Ravens, the Texans, the Colts, the Titans again, the Patriots, do you think those teams are going to throw the ball 54 times and run it just 19 against the Chiefs' defense?
No.
They're smarter than that. So I don't know what to take out of this win other than it's a win. The Chiefs are predictable. Every time they get a two-score lead, I say it every time when whoever's watching with me at home, it's just automatic. Every time the Chiefs get a two-score lead, the defense will go ahead and give up a touchdown because the Chiefs wouldn't want to put anybody away. And that's a major problem for this team. It's been that way really the last 2 years, and part of it is certainly the defense. But the offense is culpable, especially last night. More on that in a moment. They had him stopped. Tyrann Mathieu catches a wobbly duck in the air. Mm-hmm. Frank Clark did his job. By the way, Frank Clark was fantastic last night. About time he showed up.
Yeah.
You dropped the interception, two defensive penalties, boom, they score a touchdown. Now it's, and then they go for two, and he's wide open because I don't know how guys get that wide open on a two-point conversion. Happened last year in the game-winning play for the Chargers at Arrowhead. Remember that? And I was sitting there going, oh, my Lord. The Chiefs got to just at least kick a field goal because the Chargers are going to get the ball. They're going to go down the field. They're going to score a touchdown. They're going to go for two, and they're going to win the game just like last year. Unless Phillip Rivers makes a boneheaded play. The only hope I had for the Chiefs at the end on that final drive was not that the Chiefs would stop them on four downs. I didn't think there was any chance of that happening. I didn't think the clock was a factor, to be quite honest with you. Mm-hmm. And then they threw the 51-yard bomb, which the officials completely missed, was inbounds. The clock should have run. But I told my son after that 51-yard pass, I said, I told you it's going to come down to the final play, the final drive, no matter how many chances the Chiefs offense had to close the game out. And I told my son, I said, the only way we're stopping the Chargers is if they fumble it or Rivers makes another boneheaded pass and we get a pick. That's what I said, because they're not going to stop them on downs. Time, to me, wasn't a factor. They were going to throw it in the end zone. And then, of course, you heard the play. Dirty Dan with the interception, which, by the way, was not a great play. It was an okay play. He just happened to turn, and there it was. I mean, he did the right thing. It was a nice play by turning and making a play on the ball, but that was a bad throw. Rivers knew it right away. And I don't know if the Chiefs play about any other quarterback last night. I don't know if they win this game.
I don't think they do.
I don't know about any other starting quarterback.
I mean, your typical regular NFL starters.
Right.
I think every single one of them is going to beat the Chiefs last night.
I think so. I think so. And all those teams are going to run it more than 19 times.
Yeah.
The Chargers were never down by two. They were down two scores once and went right down the field and scored. So the whole game, in essence, the Chargers were down one score or they're only down 1 point, 4 points, and yet they abandoned the running game, and I don't understand why. I don't. But thank you for that, Chargers. The offense, Tyreek, the Chiefs are talking so much about getting everybody healthy, and of course, what happens? Second series of the game, Tyreek Hill leaves with a hamstring injury, or as Lisa Salters calls it, a quad injury. The Monday Night Football broadcast is atrocious. I'm just going to say it. I don't get replays. Chris Jones has a personal foul penalty. We don't see the replay. We have no idea what happened. There was a holding penalty. We didn't see any replays of that early in the game. Then they want to get to their little mini documentary about the player from Mexico. I get it. The game's in Mexico, but we got to hurry and get to that. Then Lisa Salters talks to the guys up in the booth, and they show the picture of Tyreek Hill being massaged, and they're working on his hamstring, the back of his leg. And Lisa Salters goes, looks like a quad, doesn't it, guys? And they didn't answer the question because they would have thrown her under the bus because it was a hamstring. Everybody knew it. It was pretty clear. I'm not blaming Lisa Salters because, honestly, she's probably the best of the three on the broadcast. It's not good. It's not a good – Sunday Night Football is so much better. Anybody that complains about Chris Collinsworth or Tony Romo as color commentators or complains about Sunday Night Football, then you have never watched Monday Night Football because it's just not good. It's not good. Anyway, so the Chiefs, Tyreek Hill's out. Damian Williams gets knocked out in the first half. LeSean McCoy leaves the game late in the game. He took a shot to the head. The Chiefs did have some conservative play calling. It looked like Mahomes turned into Alex Smith in the fourth quarter. What are we doing 5 out of 6 passes where we're just dumping it to the left side every time? It's like, is it the short side of the field? We ever think about going to Kelsey? You know, he's pretty good. Last I checked, he has a chance to have 4 straight 1,000-yard receiving seasons, according to ESPN's Monday Night Football graphics. So he had 7 catches, 92 yards, and they were talking about how he can just turn and box the guy out, and the Chiefs didn't even try to go to him, except for maybe one play. But over, you know, I've talked about this over and over, and I blame the defense over and over, and they blew it last year. There's no question. They should have won. They should have been the Super Bowl. The defense blew it. You can blame it on D Ford, whatever. The defense couldn't stop anybody on third down and 10. We know that. The Chiefs defense, in the games they've lost this year have been really bad. Even the games they win, they haven't been great. I mean, they were great against Denver, but Denver's horrible offensively, or was with Joe Flacco. I'm not a big fan of what the defense is doing, but I'm a little bit more patient this year because I think, hey, you got a new system, you got a lot of new players, you got a new defensive coordinator. I think there's going to be ups and downs. They did have 5 turnovers last night they forced. They had 4 interceptions. Did they really force them? Well, I don't know. You decide that on your own. Rashad Fenton made a nice pick. But here's the thing. I've heard people always wanting to blame the offense because they're defensive apologists, and I don't agree with people when they say those things. But I will say last night, I'm going to jump on the wagon that the offense didn't do its job. And this falls on Patrick Mahomes. It falls on the Chiefs offensive line. It was all completely healthy. It falls on Andy Reid with play calling. If Tyrann Mathieu makes that interception up 24-9, I think the Chiefs are still conservative. But the Chiefs, after they gave up that touchdown and two-point conversion, it was 24-17. The Chiefs had 4 possessions after the Chargers scored that touchdown 2-point. The Chiefs had 4 possessions. The vaunted high-powered offense of the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce, they still have weapons without Tyreek Hill. They had 4 possessions. They didn't even come close to scoring any time. They never extended the lead, obviously. Luckily, the defense did make plays, and luckily, Phillip Rivers plays for the Chargers last night. Over the course of the last 20 minutes of the game, you want to hear the offensive numbers?
Yes.
21 plays, last 20 minutes of the game. After they scored, the Chiefs scored the touchdown with 4:56 to go in the third on the pass to Kelce. After that point in time, the Chiefs offense had the ball 21 plays, gained a total of 73 yards. Patrick Mahomes, 3 of 8 for 24 yards. Here were the Chiefs' drives after they scored the touchdown to go up 24-9. 5 plays, 15 yards. 7 plays, 28 yards. Get the ball with 6:07 to go, a chance to ice the game. 3 plays and out, punt, 7 yards. Get a chance to close the game again. Chargers using their timeouts. They get 1 first down, 6 plays, 23 yards, only milk about 2 minutes and 10 seconds off the clock. The Chiefs had 4 possessions, and on any one of those 4 possessions, all they have to do is get a field goal. That's it. Just a field goal, not a touchdown. I'm talking 3 points. That's all you got to do. They didn't have horrible field position. They had 4 possessions. They go 5 plays, 15 yards, 7 plays, 28 yards, 3 plays and out, 7 yards, 6 plays, 23 yards. On those 4 possessions, the Chiefs punted every time. It was as if the Chiefs were saying, we got a great defense. We got the 85 Bears defense, and we're going to win it with our defense. I'm like, I was nervous because I've seen this script happen many times before. Although the defense did come up with some plays. So here's the question. Did the Chiefs call things different last night because Tyreek Hill was out of the game? I would say a little bit. But did the Chiefs do things differently last night than they normally would have, and they were more conservative than they normally would have been because of the altitude factor? Think about this for a second. The Chiefs defense is on the field for 21 minutes in the first half, only 22 all of last game. But they got some turnovers. That's what allowed them to have a 1-point lead at halftime. They set up the touchdown for the Chiefs in the first half on the Mathieu interception return. So the offense didn't do much in the first half. The offense did a great job for 2 or 3 possessions third quarter, and then the offense went into hibernation the entire fourth quarter when they had a chance to close the game, and they didn't. The offense did not do their job last night. The defense did. Whether you want to give them credit, whether you want to give blame on Phillip Rivers because he was so bad, I don't know. But listen, did the Chiefs perhaps be a little bit more conservative with the football, even if they had to run it 3 times, or be conservative with a short pass and it's a run pass option and you hold on to it to keep the clock running? Were they doing that to try to give their defense a break? I understand what people are trying to say. I've seen a couple people mention the altitude factor. Here's my thing. You know what would really give the defense a break? A couple first downs, because then you wouldn't have to go back onto the field. Mm-hmm. That would be my counter argument. So I think there is a little bit of truth to maybe they call things a little bit differently because of the altitude. I mean, the pass rushers on that final drive were gassed. There was no way they were getting to the quarterback. The Chiefs defense did do its job. Like I said, you want to give credit to them or not, they did. They did pick off the passes except for one. The defense did make big plays last night, even though they gave up 312 yards in the first half and didn't force a punt. Second half was much better. Andy Reid on the defense and the big plays.
Yeah, we've been kind of on the rise, and then last week, not so good. And then we're back. So we're back in. Last week, we gave up too many big plays. So this week we came back and made a lot of big plays, and we hung in there and kept battling. So when things were kind of tough there, and they were moving the ball a little bit, we battled. And then we did a great job in the red zone. I think they were 1-for-3 in the red zone. We ended up being 2-for-2, and that's a big stat in football.
Frank Clark, we talked about how good he was last night. It was nice to see him play like he did at Seattle. And he talked about how the defense worked together last night.
Man, it was a great team effort, you know what I'm saying? Defensive line, our job is to get in the backfield, wreak havoc, you know what I mean? Give our back end, you know, more opportunities, give our offense more opportunities. That's what we did. That's all we wanted to do is come out here and wreck the game.
Listen, I think the defense played okay. I don't think they played great because I think the Chargers completely handed it on a silver platter. They kept throwing interceptions. Melvin Gordon had a first down on a third and, what was it, second and 10? He was wide open. He was going to gain a first down on a drive late in the game and completely looked up 2 seconds before the ball got there and dropped it. The Chargers dropped passes. Their tackles are backups. They struggle against Frank Clark and others. Keep in mind, I don't want to take anything away from Frank Clark, but he was going up against a backup tackle on each side. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm not sold at Frank Clark. Oh, here he is. It's the real Frank Clark. I'm not convinced of that, but give him credit. He made plays last night.
For sure.
But here's the thing. The Chiefs got an interception by Rashad Fenton with 4 minutes left in the game. And I just knew the way I felt Andy Reid was going to be conservative. I felt the Chiefs, the way they were going, were not going to do anything offensively, which is crazy because I usually have all the faith in the world in Mahomes. And I told my son, I said, the Chargers are going to burn all the timeouts, and they're still going to have plenty of time to go down the field and score and win the game with a 2-point conversion. That's exactly what happened. You know, the issue I have with the Chiefs right now today is really honestly not with the defense. I know the first half wasn't great. I get it, but they did make a couple plays and got turnovers. The problem I have after last night's game is the offense. Travis Kelce gets it. They have to close games.
There's a lot to improve on. That's the biggest thing that we're going to look at after this game is just, you know, where can we seal the deal? Not even put our defense out there on the field at the end and let Daniel Sorensen be a hero himself. Shout out to Danny Dirty Dancing, man. That's my guy. But it's, you know, taking accountability and not even getting it into that situation.
The Chiefs know they have to close out games. You cannot leave it in your defense's hands week in and week out, or this team is in major trouble. Andy Reid realizes it too.
And then down the stretch, we were in 4-minute mode there, and we've got to make sure we close out the game. I was proud of our defense, though, for closing the game out the way they did. And then Dan with the big interception at the end, it was a huge play. So.
The offense last night, only 63 yards passing Mahomes in the first half, 182 for the game, had a nice third quarter. So things changed in the third quarter, and then they didn't do anything in the fourth quarter. As I mentioned, 24 yards for Mahomes in the fourth.
I think the biggest thing as an offense the first half is me being a little too over-aggressive. There was times where you saw in the second half, I kind of just took the checkdowns and hit the running backs out of the backfield when I had those early in the game. And so just kind of going back and reevaluating myself during the game, during halftime, and realizing that if they're going to get depth and they're going to kind of take away our shots, that if we're going to have to just kind of take what's there, and then whenever we get the opportunities like we had with Kelce in the red zone there, you take advantage of those.
Okay, I don't want to hear Mahomes saying he was over-aggressive. I don't want to hear him say that ever again.
No.
I don't. I'm already starting. This is what Dusty feared when they made Mahomes the quarterback, is Reed's going to turn him into Alex Smith. I saw Alex Smith in that fourth quarter last night. I don't want to hear Mahomes saying I was too over-aggressive. I'm okay with it. Dude, if you want to be over-aggressive and throw a pick or two, I'm cool with it because it means we're playing the win. You have to. Now, listen, it's different if you have a shutdown, awesome defense. Mm-hmm. Then I'm okay with him saying that. But when you have that cruddy of a defense, although last night made plays, granted, I don't want to hear that. Was he over-aggressive first half? Fine. I don't care. That's good. And then he took some checkdowns. That's fine. Mix it up. I get it. But in the fourth quarter, okay, so if he says he was over-aggressive first half, I take his word for it. You know what he was in the fourth quarter? Super conservative. Mm-hmm. And the Chiefs cannot do anything special if the Chiefs are conservative offensively with Patrick Mahomes in the fourth quarter trying to close games. Now, maybe that had to do with play calling, the altitude, the injuries to two running backs, and Tyreek Hill. By the way, where's Sammy Watkins at? Did he leave the team? Because if Sammy Watkins should be a guy beating zone coverages, being open on crossing patterns, breaking tackles, and he was non-existent after Tyreek Hill was out. I hear this, well, they can't stretch the field when Tyreek Hill's out. Sammy Watkins, they showed the Legion to Zoom. Mecole Hardman runs a 4-3-3. Sammy Watkins runs a 4-4, and these two guys can't stretch the field? I'm confused. Yeah. Tyreek Hill is the only guy who can stretch the field for the Chiefs. I don't get that. The Chiefs did not close the game last night, And they never do. They just don't. I mean, the only game they closed was with Matt Moore at quarterback against the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
They don't close games. They get up two scores. The defense has a chance to put the final nail in the coffin. They never do. Then the offense, the last 2 weeks, have had a chance to finish the game, and they don't. And you have questionable play calling, questionable decision-making. I mean, Mahomes' decision-making wasn't bad, but it was super conservative mode. Now, listen, people can be listening to the show right now and say, well, Wade, they won. What are you complaining about? Listen, they won. But you know what I think it came down to? I think the Chiefs thought, you know what? Let's not lose the game because we know Phillip Rivers will. I think that's what it came down to. We don't want to lose the game and do something stupid. Let's let Phillip Rivers do it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I would say that's a bad way to approach it because beat him last year in Arrowhead, down two touchdowns, came back and beat him. But I'm telling you, the Chiefs caught a huge break last night because of who they were playing and who the quarterback was. And the Chiefs, I felt like, didn't win the game. The Chargers lost the game, just like I felt like the Chiefs lost the week before. Do I take the win? Yes. What am I complaining about? If you're a Chiefs fan, you're like, Wade, chill out, man. They won the game. They're 7-4. They have a half-game lead over the Raiders. The Raiders should beat the Jets this weekend. That means Raiders-Chiefs, both 7-4, first-place battle, coming up in 2 weeks on a Sunday, December the 1st, against the Raiders, which has been flexed to a 3:25 kickoff. The Chiefs do get a bye. Comes at a good time. Hill with the hamstring. McCoy with a concussion. Williams, it looked like a rib injury. Okay, that's good. But here's why I'm not superly pleased with the win last night. I thought the team would come out and play well and make a bit of a statement. The team didn't make any kind of statement whatsoever last night. The team showed they can't close games. Listen, if you can't close games against the Chargers, who shoot themselves in the foot left and right over and over like Yosemite Sam and Elmer Fudd, then how are they going to close games against the Indianapolis Colts, the Houston Texans, the Baltimore Ravens, the New England Patriots, if the Steelers get to the playoffs, the Raiders even? How are they? This team has no killer instinct. It has no killer instinct. And a big reason why it's been that way for the last 2 years is the defense lets them score right back. The offense, I think, has had a killer instinct. But this year, not so much. I don't know if it's play calling. I don't know if it's conservative nature. I don't know if Mahomes becoming more conservative. I don't know if it's players disappearing like Sammy Watkins. Maybe it's injuries. I can't put my finger completely on it. But this offense has got to figure something out here pretty soon because you cannot rely on the other quarterback throwing four picks and fumbling the ball away. I mean, the Chiefs should have won this game 38-14, and they barely won. Although in the first half, they should have been down 24-3. So it was a weird, weird game. But I have just as many concerns after last night's game as I did going in. Honestly, I might have more of a concern now with the offense than I ever thought I would. So am I on the wagon the Chiefs can still do something special in the playoffs? Absolutely. But they've got a lot of things still to fix, and I really, truly believe had they played about any other team last night, they would have lost that game.
Oh, yeah. After last night's game.
They would have lost to Denver. If that was Denver, they would have lost last night. With Brandon Allen at quarterback, they would have lost that game. I'm pretty sure of it.
Yeah. We've been talking about where I'm at on that wagon here the last couple weeks, and last night's performance didn't make me want to jump right back in on it.
No.
I mean, it's just not – like, I'm watching, okay, they forced the punt, and I'm sitting in my mind, I'm thinking – a championship team is going to go finish
yes,
this.
Yes,
they're
yes.
going to go down. They're going to score yes. and finish this game.
Get a
at
field
least
goal.
Get me three.
Yes,
I want a championship
get two first
team
downs
to go down
on the last
there.
Drive yeah. to where you don't have to kick it, but you
yeah.
still win. Close
like,
that one.
I want this team to go down there and score a touchdown first of all, but at least get me three after the
right.
punt. Then they get the interception, and again, it's like a championship team is going to finish this game after you got the interception. Again, they have to punt the football. They finished it with an interception that, like you said, I mean, it was a guy that makes mistakes, and he made another mistake.
Made a ton of them.
You know, it was just that kind of night for Phillip Rivers, as it has been a lot of times in his career. And, you know, I was nervous that it was going to be the kind of night it was in Arrowhead last
yes.
time they played Phillip
right.
Rivers. They're going to go score a touchdown,
right.
and then they're going to be wide open on a two-point conversion, which, by the way, they were last night again
yes, I know.
On yeah. that touchdown.
And
they
trust
scored
me,
the
they would have gone for two had they
yeah.
scored there.
Oh, yeah, and I'm like, this is going to end the same way last
yep.
year's game did.
I was scared of that as well.
I was just, come on, let's finish the game.
It's not all of Phillip Rivers. I mean, he had a couple guys drop some
yeah,
passes,
yeah.
too, but the Chargers just find ways to beat themselves. I mean, it's 1st and 15, and they jump off sides. They're the Chiefs in a tough spot, and they jump off sides.
Yeah.
The Chiefs have won 24 of 26 games against AFC West, and the two losses against those AFC West teams out of 26 have been one-point losses. But that's what the Chiefs do. They never blow anybody out, and they don't get blown out. And I saw the stat last night. The Chargers, all six of their losses have come by a touchdown or less. I throw on Twitter, oh, do you know that the Chiefs' four losses are all by 7 points or less as well? So what are you trying to say? The Chargers don't know how to finish games or win games? The Chiefs don't either.
Yeah.
So it's like, which team's going to lose instead of which team's going to go win it? Yes, Sorensen made a play, but it was because of a poor pass on top of it all.
I'm not familiar with exactly what rankings are, but as far as mid-major poll, they would have to be up there towards the top in America. And, you know, Steve done a great job. You know, we've known Steve forever, going back to Martin County days when he was running the show out there with Ray Bouchard as the volleyball coach. So, you know, he's been around. He's terrific. And last year they were one game away from making the tournament. You know, they're picked to finish ahead of Greensboro this year in their respective league. And Greensboro, I thought, was really good. So if they're better than Greensboro, we know we have our work cut out for us.
Bill Self on the opponent tonight for the Jayhawks as they'll take on East Tennessee State. They are a good basketball team. They're one of the best mid-majors, and that'll be a test for Kansas tonight, Allen Fieldhouse. East Tennessee State off to a 3-0 start. Steve Forbes is the head coach, as you heard him say, the ties to Kansas. Of course, he's also an assistant there at Wichita State with Greg Marshall. And Steve Forbes had nothing but good things to say. I saw some video of him talking about Allen Fieldhouse and KU and his relationship with Bill Self. They're friends, and he says he's patterned a lot of stuff he does with his team after what he's learned from Bill Self. He learned under Billy Gillespie. Billy Gillespie learned under Bill Self. There's a lot of connections there. So it could be a bit of a scary matchup tonight for the Jayhawks. And then you can hear it on Z96.3 Little Lake tonight. KU ranked fourth in the nation now at 2-1. That lone loss, of course, was to Duke. East Tennessee State is 3-0. That's tonight. 6:30 pregame on Z96.3 Little Lake. K-State men in action. They are still undefeated. Haven't had a major test really so far. They will take on Arkansas Pine Bluff at 7 o'clock tonight. And Wichita State's back in action. They are undefeated in the early part of the year. They'll host Gardner-Webb at 7 tonight at Coke Arena in Wichita. A couple of college football notes passed along to you. Tim Beck, and I've met Mr. Beck, as I call him, Mr. Beck, Coach Beck. He was on the staff when I was at Pittsburgh State, and that tells you how long he's been around. He was a defensive coordinator at first, an offensive coordinator for a while, and did a great job at Pittsburgh State under Chuck Broyles. Then became the head football coach when Coach Broyles stepped aside. 33 years he spent with Pittsburgh State's football program. The last 10 years he's been the head coach. Not bad. He won 70% of his games, 82-35, and he won the team's fourth ever national championship in 2011. But he stepped aside after a 6-5 season where the Gorillas started 5-0, lost 5 in a row to good teams. Of course, that's how it is in the MIAA. Mm-hmm. And then they won their last one. So 6-5, a winning season, but they're not going to the playoffs. He announced his resignation yesterday, and so there'll be a national search for the next head football coach at Pittsburgh State University. And it'll be interesting to see which direction the Gorillas go. Fort Hays State's an improved team. Central Missouri's an improved team. Northwest Missouri State still, I think, the power of the MIAA, although Fort Hays State won the championship last couple of years. This year, of course, didn't. I'd just be interested to see who Pitt State hires, if they're going to stay within the family, which they've done for a while now, with Broyles and then, of course, Coach Beck, or they're going to go outside that tree. We will continue to follow that. Tua, as I call him because I can't pronounce his last name, quarterback of the Alabama Crimson Tide. He's out for the season with that dislocated hip. He had hip surgery. There were some reports and rumors out there that it was like the Bo Jackson injury, and we mentioned that yesterday. We had read that as well. And the doctor and other consultants really tried to put that to bed yesterday when they came out and talked about the surgery. They said there's a big difference between Bo Jackson and Tua's injuries. And they said the biggest difference is Bo kept playing on his. And Tua got immediately addressed as soon as it happened. And then, of course, technology, things different, you know, 20-some years later, 20, 25 years later, actually almost 30 years later. And so they expect a full recovery. He'll be fine. He also had a broken nose on that play. If you remember, he was bleeding and holding his face. So it was, you know, the hit didn't look that ferocious. Just like we talk about NASCAR crashes, sometimes the worst ones are you're unscathed, and the ones that don't look so bad are the worst ones. But Tua was expected to make a full recovery. I think the question is he going to come back to Alabama or will he go pro? I think he'll probably go pro, but I don't know. He might come back.
Yeah, it's a tough situation.
How does it hurt his draft stock, too?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have a lot of workouts, and somebody's going to have to take a chance no matter what if he decides to not come back and just to go pro right out of it, right out of the surgery.
I agree with you on that. So Tua's out. Alabama, can they make the playoff without Tua? Yeah. How is the committee going to look at Alabama without Tua as their quarterback? The committee will have the rankings tonight, And I think you're going to have the same four. You're going to have LSU 1, Ohio State 2, Clemson 3, and Georgia 4, and it's going to be boring. I guess the question is Alabama going to stay at 5? Because that's where they were last week, was 5. I would think they would.
I mean, they dominated even without Tua playing the whole game. I would think so.
Who was 6 last week? Do you remember who was 6 last week? It was Oregon.
Oregon, and then Utah.
Yeah. I think the top 7 stay the same.
Yeah.
Minnesota will fall because they had moved up to 8.
Oklahoma will probably move to 8.
Yeah. Penn State could. Penn State was ahead of Oklahoma.
True.
And they just beat a top 25 team in Indiana.
And Oklahoma beat Baylor, though. So I think that might be why. That's why I say that. I'm not going
to guarantee it. Yeah, and they're down 28-3, though. So that will be interesting. Penn State or Oklahoma. Who's ahead of each other? That's a good point. I'll be looking for that. Otherwise, there's really not much
trauma. I think that's the only thing you got to see is, does Oklahoma jump Penn State this week?
Yeah, which if they do, that's a good sign for Oklahoma, obviously. Yeah. Let's see. Back to the Chiefs for a moment. We're talking about the Chiefs, the domination of the AFC West. They're 24-2 in the last 26 games against the AFC West. And the two losses were against the Raiders. What was that, last year when they had about 18 defensive penalties on the final drive? And the Raiders got 10 chances inside the 5 to score. And the other one was when they blew a 14-point lead at Arrowhead, and the Chargers went for 2 and beat them at Arrowhead last year on a Thursday night. Those are the only two losses they've had in the last 26 games against AFC West.
Yeah.
Last night, they didn't know who wanted to win the game. listen, sometimes you have feelings about players, and you feel like this guy's going to be really good. I felt when the Chiefs – I was higher on Patrick Mahomes when he was drafted by the Chiefs than Dusty was. Now, I didn't expect Mahomes to be as good as he's been. Don't get me wrong. Didn't see that coming. I thought Mitch Trubisky was going to be an average quarterback. So far, that's played out to be true.
Yeah.
I thought Deshaun Watson might be the best of any of the quarterbacks, and I would thought the Chiefs, maybe that's why they were going to be trading up, is to get Deshaun Watson. And I think they've been okay with Deshaun Watson. I would have been okay with it. And those quarterbacks have gone pretty much the way you thought. Watson's had a good NFL career. Mahomes has been, I thought he'd do well in this league because of his arm strength, and that Andy Reid would be a great mentor for him. And so far, that's been proven correct. Trubisky has not been, they traded up to get him. I didn't know what the Bears were doing that day. You know, certain things you can kind of figure out. Jamarcus Russell, I knew that was a bust as soon as he was drafted number one overall. Charlie Weiss, you knew that was a train wreck as soon as they hired him. And then sometimes you're wrong. You think you have it figured out, and you don't. On draft day a couple years ago, the Atlanta Hawks and Dallas Mavericks made a trade. They exchanged draft picks. So Trae Young was drafted by the Mavericks, of course, the great point guard from Oklahoma. He went to Atlanta, and Atlanta drafted Luka Doncic and traded him to the Mavericks. And my immediate reaction was the Mavericks got the best of this deal. Not because I didn't think Trae Young would be a really good player in the NBA. In fact, contrary to what somebody that talked about Trae Young being a complete bust on the show before, not Dusty or me, I thought Trae Young was going to be a really good NBA player. I figured he'd be an all-star at some point. Now, he's further along than I thought he'd be, to be quite honest with you. But the guy that I was totally sold on, a lot of people didn't know, but I respect Fran Franchella so much. And he knows these kids overseas. And I saw the highlights, and I know they show just the best stuff. I get all that. But Doncic, they didn't show dunk after dunk or just deep three-pointers. They showed in his highlight reel he could pass the ball. He could defend the ball. He can handle the ball. He can rebound. He's tall. He's 19. And he got drafted. And I was like, this guy's going to be a superstar. I told my son this. He goes, yeah, can you believe that the Mavericks traded Trae Young? I said, yeah, they got the better player.
Other way around. Why did the Hawks trade Doncic? Why did they draft him and trade him? Like, what are you doing?
Why don't the Hawks keep him? Why would you? I don't get it. And both players are off to great starts this year, no doubt about it. But Doncic is a stud, and I thought he's going to be tremendous in the NBA. I really thought he's going to be one of the new faces of the league. And a lot of people didn't know much about him. I trust what Fran Franchella said. I trusted my eyes, and I know he's like, well, yeah, but that's over in Europe. Listen, there's some good competition in Europe. People just used to poo-poo that and say, well, it's nothing like the NBA over here. That's not the case anymore. We don't dominate when we play. We can put our B-teamers in the NBA or A-teamers, and it's not super easy to win the Olympic gold anymore because of European players and players across the world now. There are really good players. Luka Doncic is a stud. And I'm telling you right now, he's coming to Oklahoma City on December 31st. I've already looked it up. And since there is no Russell Westbrook to go watch or Paul George anymore for the Thunder, and I like to go to a Thunder game once a year with my oldest son, And last year we were going to go see the Mavericks and Thunder because I just wanted to see Doncic, and so did my son. It had nothing to do about Russell or Paul because we've seen them play before. I wanted to see Doncic. And then my son had been traveling a lot a few days before, and he says, you know what, I'm not up to going all the way down. I was kind of disappointed. And then I found out that Doncic was a late scratch, and he didn't play in the game anyway. So I'm like, good, save me money, and I wasn't going to miss him. He's going to be in Oklahoma City on December 31st, and Trae Young's going to be Oklahoma City in February 24th. I've looked this up. This is what it happens now as your OKC Thunder fan. You get rid of your stars like George and Westbrook. You now pick games that you want to see the other players play in. Now people do this. The league isn't really about the teams so much. It's about the players. You know, you go to watch LeBron play regardless of what team he's on. You want to go watch Kawhi regardless of what the team is on. The thing is, Kawhi has load management and rest, so he might not play. Doncic is 20. He's going to play every game that he's healthy. Last night, Luka Doncic was phenomenal against Dusty's San Antonio Spurs. So Dusty's well aware of this.
I'm not trying to talk about this.
Luka Doncic
going on and on.
Yeah, I will. Luka Doncic's a career high 42 points last night, 11 rebounds, 12 assists, his sixth triple double already this season. And he's only the second player in NBA history to record a 40 point triple double before turning 21 years old. Want to take a guess on who the other guy is?
I know. It's
LeBron.
Yeah, LeBron.
It's LeBron. That's pretty high company. He had 17 points in the first quarter. I've been saying the Mavericks are the sleeper team in the NBA this year, and I think in a few years the Mavericks are going to be really tough to beat. With Porzingis and Doncic, they add a few to him, and he is on the face of NBA.com right now after his performance last night, and there's still people who don't know who he really is. He is a superstar. He already is, in my opinion. Yet, just because other people haven't said that he is, the Mavericks are off to an 8-5 start after not being good at all last year, but they didn't have Porzingis. The Mavericks are an improved basketball team, and they've got a guy they can build around for the next. I mean, it's kind of like Patrick Mahomes. Well, you didn't make the Super Bowl last year. That's all right. We got another 15 years of Mahomes, which, assuming there's no injuries, you're right. But the same thing with the Mavericks. You've got at least 10-year window here, I would think, with Luka Doncic. And he's doing things. He just does the right things. He's a good defender. And I saw the numbers, and I have to pull them up. But the second year in the league, they showed the numbers. Second year in the league, they used Magic Johnson, LeBron James, and Luka Doncic's numbers last night. Magic averaged 22 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists his second year in the league. LeBron averaged, I think it was 20. I'm going off my memory here. LeBron averaged like 27 points and 8 rebounds and 7 assists. You know, that's all great. Doncic right now, through 13 games, and granted, it's 13 games, there's still 69 to play. Luka Doncic right now is averaging 30 points a game, 11 rebounds, and just under 10 assists a game. He is averaging a triple-double, in essence.
Yeah.
And he's 20! He's 20! What's he going to do when he's 22? What's he going to do when he's 25? And he doesn't even have a great team around him yet.
No.
Oh, my God. I'm telling you, I am good. My wife might want to do something on New Year's Eve to bring in the new year. I'm going to tell her she's got to come to Bricktown and go to OKC with me because I want to see Luka Doncic play in person. I want to see him before people catch on and then people drive the price up to $400 a ticket like LeBron. All right? I want to see LeBron play in person. I never saw Jordan play in person. I wasn't too cheap. I was poor in college. I couldn't afford to do it. I couldn't drive to Chicago and spend all the money to get a ticket in the nosebleed to watch Jordan. I really wish I did and went in debt for it, but I never did. I've never seen LeBron play. I'm always worried that I go to the Thunder game and watch LeBron play, LeBron's going to have load management and arrest, although he says he's not going to do any of that this year as long as he's ready and healthy to play. He doesn't want to sit any games out. Good for you, LeBron. I like that. Like to hear that. But that's what happens in NBA. You go to see players, and you don't really go to see the teams. You go to see the players. And right now, I don't think I can see Trae Young play because that's on a Friday night high school basketball. But I could possibly, weather permitting, go see Luka Doncic. And I better do it before prices go way up because people understand Luka Doncic is the next superstar of the NBA. He is absolutely amazing. And he's 20.
I don't even know if he'll be able to make it until December 31st for that. If he keeps going like he is right now.
Yeah, I know. I better get my tickets now is what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
Problem is if I get them now and then I have to drive to OK City, it could be ice and snow.
Exactly.
I don't want to do that. Yep. I'm out the tickets. I got to eat that. So You know, I'm not Don Hyland. I can't afford to do things like that. I got to be a little bit more frugal with my money or be careful with my money. So, but, you know, and I've thought about that. I spent money to watch the Royals in the World Series. I figured that was a once-in-a-lifetime situation, and then they went the next year, and then that cost me more money because I didn't think they'd go back-to-back years. And I'm glad I spent that money. And did I have a credit card bill? Oh, yeah. But I have an experience I'll never forget the rest of my life, and I got to spend it with my oldest when they clinched the pennant in 2015. Got to go to a World Series game with my wife. Got to go to the wild card game with good friends of mine. Got to go to a World Series game with my good buddy BP. And you know what? It was worth every penny for me because that was experience, and I'll live it for the rest of my life. Mm. It was unbelievable. It was worth it. You know, maybe I need to get to the point where I say, you know what? I got to just spend the money to get in the arena to watch LeBron play wherever he is nearby. Denver Nuggets? OKC Thunder. That's the two closest places.
Yeah.
Maybe I've got to do it. I sure as heck ain't flying to L.A. to watch him play.
No.
I'd probably have been better off if I went to Cleveland, but it would have been a hard ticket to get even more there. Home games would be even tougher. But I do think when you see a guy that is a once-of-a-generation player, and I think Doncic might be that type of guy, you better catch him when he's early before everybody jumps on board, and you're going to have to spend a penny to see the guy in person. Now, I went and saw the Royals because that's my team. And I enjoyed the whole team and everything else and the misery of 29 years. That's why that made that so much more special. You know, OKC Thunder, I like them. I cheer for them, but I don't check them out every single night. I'm not a huge NBA fan in regards to a particular team. I cheer for the Thunder. I like watching the Spurs play. I do. I like watching the great players play. I love watching Kawhi. I like watching LeBron. I love watching Trae Young. I love watching Luka Doncic. But if I'm going to go to the Thunder game, I'm not going to watch the Thunder. Without Westbrook and George, I'm going to watch who comes to town and what superstar is going to be there. That's what I'm going to spend my money on, and that's what the NBA is. It's more about the player than the team.
Oh, yeah. It's been like that for a long time.
Yeah, it has. So, yeah. Bird, Magic, Dr. J.
I didn't see Michael play with the Bulls. But
some of the Wizards.
You know, we went down on his last game in Denver,
and went out, not down.
You know, it wasn't the same Michael Jordan, right. But I can still say that I was in the same place as Michael Jordan. I saw him play.
Right,
that's why we did it.
Right.
We spent $16 on nosebleed tickets that night.
Wish I could get $16 bucks to go see
Luka Doncic. And back then, inflation, it was a different price than what it would be now.
Right.
But so we did that, and I'll never forget it. You know, I'll never forget that experience. I took the college camera. I got a good picture of Jordan Duncan. And,
there you go.
And, you know, I'll never in my life forget that experience, even though he was with the Wizards, not the Bulls.
Right.
It was still, we were in the same place. We were in the same building as greatness, and you knew it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Todd says, for my 18th birthday, my dad asked, what do you want? I said, go to KC. That's when the Kings played in Kansas City in the NBA. He says, I wanted to see the Sixers because they had Dr. J and Moses. Loved it.
Yeah.
You know, Todd, no, if I don't want to date him, but Todd's older than me, and that's a memory he still has right there. It was a great memory, and I'm sure that his dad didn't regret paying whatever money it was to do that because it's a memory. And so don't, you know, sometimes, I mean, I know it's easy to say, you know, if you don't have much money, I get it. You got to be responsible and physically responsible. But if there's a situation where you think you can swing it, you know, memories mean a lot. You know, memories do mean a lot. So if you can do something like that, great. Now you can also spend a lot of money, go to game one of the World Series against the Giants, and then the Royals get smoked, and you're like, I wasted my money. This was nothing. But I also went to a wild card game, which was the greatest sports event in my lifetime, and I've gone to Final Fours and other stuff, and I'll never forget it for the rest of my life when the Chiefs or the Royals came back and beat the A's in the wild card game. I was there when they clinched the pennant against the Blue Jays. I wish I was there when they got one game five in New York. I was there for game seven thinking it'd be a celebration, and I was disappointed. But you know what? I was there. I saw it. That's probably the only game seven I'll ever go to in my life in the World Series, unless the Royals are in game seven again. And I don't regret any of those decisions. Did I have to take a little while to pay off the credit card bill? Was there a little bit of interest? Yep. But you know what? I haven't been up all night long ever since then thinking, oh, my God, I wish I would have saved my money and not gone there. But I was in a position where I could do it. You need to be in a position individually where you can do it. But I'm saying if you think there's any way you can swing it, if you got to get a loan from a buddy for a couple hundred bucks and, you know, he holds it over your head, do it.
We were in the major final stages of planning to go in Miami for 2012 when K-State was undefeated and could have made it to the national championship.
And you weren't going to miss that,
Baylor
were you?
Ruined it. But I was like, if I got to take out a loan, whatever I got to do, I'll be there for that. We were ready to go. And then and then that fell through. I saved a lot of money.
Yeah,
but
true.
We'd rather have that experience, probably.
Yeah, true. It's kind of sad in a way. Like the Chiefs, I want them to go to the Super Bowl, And I'm like, I really want to go because I figure it's the only time they'll ever make it during my lifetime. And like kind of like I thought with the Royals in 14. And so it is really expensive to go to the Super Bowl. It's not even close compared to the World Series. And like, I don't want to go by myself. So you got to double the money if my wife goes, who won't even care.
Yeah.
So I'd like to go with somebody that's a Chiefs fan, have a great time. So then, okay, I don't have to spend that. But can I find somebody to spend that much money to go with me to go to the Super Bowl and sit in nosebleed? Because that's all I probably can afford or swing. And I sit there and go, you know, I really want the Chiefs to make a Super Bowl. But if they don't, I have an easy decision. I don't have to spend any money. Yep. But if they do, I probably won't do it because it is way, way, way more expensive. Yeah. But I might also, 10 years from now, kick myself and say, God, I wish I was there when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. Or maybe I'll go to the parade. I don't know. When they win it all, which I don't know if that's going to happen in my lifetime. But those are things that go through your head sometimes. Like, yeah, I really want to do that. Oh, but, you know, if they do make it, that's going to cost me a lot of money. So, really, it kind of helps me financially if they don't make it. And then what happens if you spend all that money, you go out there and you watch a 13-3 game like the Super Bowl last year. If you're a Rams fan and spend all that money, that's a huge disappointment. The game was horrible. So there's always that chance, too, in a one-game situation. Just like game one of the World Series in 14 when the Giants smoked James Shields and the Royals. I was sitting there down third baseline with great seats going, this is a bummer, and this is no fun. The game was over after two innings. Sometimes that's the risk you take.
Yeah.
It's also risk you take to go see Luka Doncic, and then he goes out, and he sprains his ankle on the first play of the game, and now you're ready to leave because you came to watch him play.
Yeah.
That's the problem when you go to see an individual compared to your team.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that you weren't able to do that. Hopefully you'll get that an opportunity like that again. Maybe not. I hope the Chiefs have that opportunity to where then I can say, yeah, I'm going to sit on my couch and watch it at home.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.